Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and this week I'm coming to you from Las Vegas. Yep, my role as host of our ever-popular series of Chalk Talk HD webcasts has me in Sin City this week. Oh, darn. So what's new in the world of electronic engineering this week? Well, let's see. Wednesday marked the 35th anniversary of Voyager 1's launch to Jupiter and Saturn. And if you're counting, that's a little older than me. And if you didn't know, this bad boy is still running strong on 68 kilobytes of memory and an 8-track tape recorder. Wow. I haven't seen one of those since Grandma's house in about 85. Well, happy birthday to Voyager 1. Enjoy your birthday stroll to the outer edges of our solar system. I'm guessing that the next set of photos sent by Voyager are going to be pretty darn interesting. On the FPGA front, this week Altera announced its plans for the next process node. 20 nanometer, y'all! And if you were keeping score, this is the first FPGA company to announce their plans for 20 nanometer. These announcements are always kind of a slippery slope, right? We all know that they've been working on this stuff in the background for several years now, in secret-ish. But when do you announce that, yes, someday, in the near-ish future, we will have actual chips to ship on said process node? You can't announce too late, after those other guys, and you can't announce too early and have everyone wait a super long time for actual silicon. And maybe by that time, they've already kind of forgotten about your plans in the first place. What do you guys think about these next process node announcements? Exciting or a bit too much hype before the real thing comes along? I'm kind of in between here. I like hearing about all of the cool stuff that's coming around the bend. I just don't want to have to wait 2 years to see it come to fruition. And in embedded technology news, researchers at the University of Manchester's Photon Science Institute have created the world's first magic carpet. And no, this isn't the Aladdin flying around the air kind of magic carpet. No, this is a carpet of a different color entirely. A team of researchers led by Dr. Patricia Sully at the University of Manchester's Photon Science Institute have created the first ever carpet that can predict falls. Okay, the skinny on this new psychic carpet. Underneath said carpet is an underlay that has been embedded with electronic sensors and plastic optical fibers that can not only detect, but also map a person's individual walking patterns. So this technology utilizes a certain kind of tomographic technique that's pretty close to the kind of techniques used in hospital scanners, with light propagated under the surface of the carpet that is used to map 2D images. When someone comes along and walks on this new magic carpet, the tiny optical fibers bend underneath the weight of the person, and the sensors on the edge of the carpet detect these bends. And then the signals of the sensors are then analyzed by an off-carpet computer. This story got me thinking. Maybe every high-tech company should have this type of technologically advanced carpet to protect themselves from, say, unexpected incidents involving visiting fish fry hosts. Maybe perhaps like the time I tried to juggle a few too many handheld devices and spilled the entire contents of my grande latte all over the electronics case at Silicon Blue. Maybe this carpet could have saved me. Hey, she's leaning over a bit to the right here. Her weight is off balance, and we already know she walked into the kitchen and paused at the coffee maker. Code red. Code red. Okay, maybe not. Check out the link on this week's Fish Fry page entitled Sending Mixed Signals for more information on this story. Oh, hey, they say they can retrofit this carpet pretty cheaply. Don't you think we need some for the office? so that one incident doesn't happen again. You know what I'm saying? Phew. This week, like the title reads, we're checking out mixed signals. Whether you're a digital guy trying to tackle that last bit of analog in your design, or you're looking to refresh your memory about how to get your analog and digital signals to talk nicely together, everybody needs a little help now and then. My guest is Mladen Nizik, and we're talking about a brand new book published just a couple weeks ago called Mixed Signal Methodology Guide. Mladen and I talk about who this book is for, what companies collaborated to make this manual happen, and even where mixed signal education is headed in the future.
My guest today is Mladen Nizik, Director of Mixed Signal Solutions at Cadence. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome, Amelia.
So first off, I saw recently that Cadence has released a new mixed signal methodology guide. Tell me about the motivation to publish a book like this and why at this time?
So Amelia, we see the mixed signal changing, going through quite a lot of changes in recent years. And this is driven by both technology and business. On a business side, a lot of new applications, like, for example, in mobile, consumer, automotive, require mixed signal design. And on the other side, technology, process technology, enables greater integration of analog and digital functionality. So as complexity of the mixed signal designs is increasing to meet demand of these new applications, traditional mixed signal methodology is not sufficient anymore. Mm-hmm. So we felt that it's time to provide a broader community more information of what the new methodology are available and what new methodology are required to design modern mixed signal SoCs.
I see. So tell me about what the book covers.
So book has 11 chapters, and the first couple of chapters are providing a general overview of the types of mixed signal designs and challenges, as well as overview of the methodologies, both for verification and implementation. And then further chapters are focused on the different areas of mixed signal, starting with modeling, which is so critical for bringing analog to higher abstraction for more effective simulation and verification. And then outlines new mixed signal verification methodology. And a lot of this is applying higher-level automation, often digital-like techniques, on analog and mixed-signal design. Some of the chapters are actually example of the specific types of designs, like, for example, RF, digitally assisted analog, PLL, and how those new methodologies can be applied on these designs. And then we also provided good information on physical implementation and different flows that can be used for highly integrated designs, focused on some of the new advanced node challenges that require more electrically aware layout techniques, and also covered some of the aspects of the 3DIC integration as it applies to the mixed signal design. And in the last chapter, we discussed data management, which is of increasing importance, especially since mixed signal designs are done by multiple groups working concurrently on the same project.
Mm-hmm. So I see you're listed as one of the authors. Tell me a little bit about the rest of the authors.
So, yes, I had the pleasure of the project of creating this book together and write a couple of the chapters, as well as solicit other authors to contribute. So we have quite a number of authors from Cadence, as well from outside of Cadence, like, for example, Jess Chen from Qualcomm, Michael Henry from Cleosoft, Montemar from Boeing, who each contributed for one chapter. And we looked for the best people to cover a particular topic, you know. So all of these R&D people, quite hands-on on their technology and practical in working with customers for real design at this time.
That's great. That's very important. So for my readers, who should read this book and what kind of benefit will they gain?
So, Amelia, we actually intended the book to a very broad community. As you see, on each of these topics, there a book could be written, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look across what's published today, you know, there are a lot of books how to design PLL or sigma-delta converter, but very little book who talks broader about methodology for different mixed signal designs. So we intended the book to many people, not just to specialists, you know.
Right.
So we expect that both analog and digital designers, simulation, verification, and implementation engineers, as well as managers, would benefit from this book, you know. It offers the benefit of broader understanding of the mixed signal design methodology, understanding a little more that other domain that maybe we don't need to interact and do every day. We don't need to. It's not our core expertise, but it's important to know in order to better collaborate in these multidisciplinary teams to more effectively create mixed signal SoCs.
That makes absolute sense. So do you have any further plans related to this book?
Oh, certainly. We would like to make this a kind of live book, and we have some plans to further enhance the material. We wanted to add even some more topics that, as always, due to time and resources, we're not able to do this time.
Sure.
So we would like to issue the regular or publish regular editions of the book, updating it regularly. And also, we are planning to offer the electronics version as well.
Oh, very nice. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. My pleasure talking to you.
And now it's time for a little Amelia's mailbag. Folks, I love fan mail. An email form, forum post form, just about anything. It's great. And there has been a couple very cool posts lately on my fish frying forums that I thought I should share. Now, a couple weeks ago, I did a story about recent developments by the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology in flexible battery technology. And Heineke TFM commented that he would like to see a flexible tattoo a la Illustrated Man by Ray Bradbury. Now, I'm not quite sure how you knew this, Heineke TFM, but that book is one of my all-time favorite books. And yes, I think that application is fantastic. I'm guessing that one of my very nerdy and very tatted-up friends would be first in line for this technological breakthrough. I, however, will stick with my one tattoo. Thank you very much, and I would prefer that it isn't animated. That might be weird. Of course, with a flexible battery embedded in a tattoo, maybe we could make one light up. And now it's time for my nerdy giveaway, and looky here, I've got a copy of the book Mixed Signal Methodology Guide that Mladen and I spoke of earlier, courtesy of Cadence. Ha! Imagine that. So, to win a copy of this super cool book of your very own, just navigate on over to eejournal.com and post a comment on this week's Fish Fry page entitled Sending Mixed Signals. And just tell me that you want the book. And by the end of next week, I'll pick one of the posts from that list and send you this fine book in the mail. So, get posting, folks. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Stay tuned for even more nerdy giveaways, high-tech news, and EE intrigue. Oh yeah, and if you want to stay connected to Fish Fry, do remember that EE Journal's Fish Fry RSS feed is now up and running. And we're even in the iTunes store, too. For more information on the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com. For the week of September 7th, 2012, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.